First Peter chapter 2 and in verse 5, the Bible says, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, as it is contained in the scripture. Now it says here that, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, talking about Jesus, elect and precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall not be confounded. Now let me lay a bit of background here concerning the things of God. There are promises that God has made in his word, hallelujah, by which we are made partakers of the divine nature. Now, there are some things that are no longer promises because they have been already fulfilled. Glory be to God. There are things that have already been fulfilled. So this word confounded here is saying that we shall not be ill. The word, the Greek word translated confounded here includes the fact that we shall not be ill. It also includes the fact that we shall not be ashamed. It includes also we shall not be confounded. It says also that we shall not come into dishonor. We shall not be disgraced. Hallelujah. We shall not be disgraced. Glory be to Jesus. We shall not be disgraced. We shall not be offended. And men shall not make us scapegoats. Glory be to God. It also says that our hope cannot be or shall not be frustrated. Our expectation shall not be frustrated. Our positive expectation concerning the word of God shall not be frustrated. Praise the Lord Jesus. We shall not be disappointed. Hallelujah. And we will not be withdrawn. Glory be to God. Or ashamed. It's also the same thing as being ashamed. Praise the Lord Jesus. In the covenant, there are many things within the covenant, the new covenant, that the believer ought to know belongs to them, belongs to each believer. Hallelujah. The new covenant is a better covenant than the old. Glory be to Jesus. It's a better covenant than the old covenant. And we come to find out through study that the new covenant includes the best part of the old and the new. Hallelujah. It is in it that God has made it very clear, abundantly clear, that certain things should not be happening to us as believers. Glory be to God. And we have to do something when the adversary comes with some of the stuff that he's coming with. We ought to be able to identify when the adversary is in operation and when he is not. Glory be to Jesus. And when God is in operation and when God is not. Hallelujah. Because if we don't identify the adversary, we cannot resist him. And God expects us to resist the adversary. He gave us weapons. Hallelujah. And the weapons of our warfare, the Bible says, are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, against the things of God, against the things that show us the lordship of Jesus Christ. And we bring those thoughts take it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm having in a readiness to punish all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. Amen? So the believer has to be loaded up with the word of God, with the promises of God, with the things that Jesus has already done for us, that we may know how to stand in the evil day. Praise the Lord. Now, there are things that have happened in the world and things that will still happen, but we are exempted because of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're exempted. Glory be to God. It was because of that I knew that when COVID was coming, we would not lose anyone. Hallelujah. We will not lose anyone. because when we were receiving communion, realized that we were exempted. We're exempted from some things. Hallelujah. The Passover is actually an exemption. Hallelujah. It's an exemption. Praise the Lord Jesus. Under the old covenant, we will find, hallelujah, let's go to in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 7, it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that it may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Glory be to Jesus. Amen. Now, in the book of Exodus chapter 12, can we go to verse 1? It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And the lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts of the upper door posts of the house, wherein they shall eat it." Hallelujah. "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sudden, or sudden at all with water, is it, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the putenance thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remained of it until the morning you shall burn with fire." We're looking at the detail of what the Lord said to them. "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." It is the Lord's what? Passover. And it says, "I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Now, I want to say something here. The Old Covenant or the Old Testament is a shadow of the New. This is why we looked at it. It's not something different. You know, it's a shadow, and a shadow takes the form of the real thing. It's not something different. Praise the Lord Jesus. So when the Lord was breaking bread with the disciples, and he says that this is my body, which is broken for you. And the Apostle Paul, speaking about it, said that he is the Lamb of God that was slain. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That he is our Passover. Praise the Lord Jesus. He's our Passover. He said, "Therefore, let us," he says, "purge ye therefore the old leaven, that may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." When he's talking, he's looking at the shadow. The shadow says, what is the essence of the Passover? Is for every evil to exempt us. Evil will exempt us. Now, he said, "The plague shall not be upon you to destroy you." Praise the Lord. "It shall not be upon you to destroy you," which means it comes around, but it cannot do anything to us. Hallelujah. We have a promise of God that when plagues come into the land, We are exempted because of Jesus. Now, before the new covenant came in, only the children of Israel had the covenant with God. But through Jesus Christ, we are now in covenant with God. Hallelujah. So, and it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, for all the promises of God in him, who's him here? The Lord Jesus, are yea, and in him amen to the glory of God by us. Now, it means, what the word is saying here is that all the promises that God made under the first covenant, the blessings of that covenant automatically became ours under the new. Amen? Under the new. Praise the Lord Jesus. And so when the plague of death comes into the land, it is not for us. Hallelujah. If they're laying off people from work, it is not for us. If businesses are collapsing and going into bankruptcy, it's not for us. Glory be to Jesus. Because Jesus, our Passover, has been slain. And so we are, God is obligated to exempt us. We're exempted. And it's a personal thing. You know, this update has to be run by each person for yourself, for your family. You have to run it yourself and stop inoculating yourself with fear. We don't know who next. We don't know, you know, this thing is coming through. You know, I just might catch it. No, you ain't catching nothing. You're catching health because it will pass over you. I want you to understand that that is what we're doing when we're breaking bread. We are saying it will pass. Hallelujah. When there is crisis, it will pass because we belong to God. Hallelujah. These things don't come to stay with us. They cannot stay because we're exempted. The blood has been, the lamb has been slain and the blood has been applied. And so because that blood is there, when God sees it, he will say, no, this one is exempted. Hallelujah. That even when you've done something wrong, glory be to God, you repent and God will forgive you. Now, there's something I want to say because these are the last days. Jesus will soon show up. I want to say this, if you're backsliding, there is forgiveness at the feet of the cross. It doesn't matter what has happened to you. We've looked at scripture and it's very clear that God still loves the backslider. I'm not saying he loves backsliding. God loves the backslider as his child. God still longs for you. God is not throwing you away. No, he's not. He doesn't discard his own. Say, no, that one is useless. There's nothing I can do with him. You know, hallelujah. No. And even the worst of sinners, the worst of men, God still loves and longs that they may come to him. Glory be to God. If God condemns something you have done and said this is wrong, or the preacher is speaking against something that you're doing and saying this is wrong, it is not that you should be damned, but that you should turn around and come to God. When we say that God loves you, what we mean by that is that God wills the best for you. And sin is destructive. But Jesus still loves you. Every single person, he paid that price on the cross for everyone. Whosoever will come, whosoever wills, let him come. It's an equal opportunity deal. God did not make Christianity for a special group of people who, you know, no, for everyone. Everyone is invited to the table of the Lord. These promises we're talking about and these things that Jesus did, they are for everyone. Who will believe? So what Jesus is saying is that there is help for mankind at the cross. I went there to change everything, to overturn everything. Everything that the devil did through Adam is zeroed out on the cross. That was why Jesus said, "It is finished." He overturned everything the devil did. He undid it. Sickness and disease has been undone. Poverty has been undone. It is the will of God that every child of God, in 100% of the times that a child of God is sick, that they be well. It's too late for God to change his mind. In fact, God doesn't have any other opinion on the matter. The reason is that it has been paid for. You go to a hotel and you paid, you know, they say it's bed and the breakfast and all of that is including free breakfast, free Wi-Fi and all of that. When you connect to the Wi-Fi, do you beg for it? No. If the manager is not feeling good, would you not still have Wi-Fi? Hallelujah. Why? It's been paid for. It's been paid for. Sickness and disease have been paid for. Jesus paid a price that we should be well. He also paid a price for us to be rich. Don't put it like that. Hallelujah. In the word, salvation is prosperity. And God never intended that the believer should believe that sickness and disease are part of the human experience. No, they were not there before Adam fell. They were not there before Eve fell. They came in through the fall of man. And if Jesus undid the things that the devil did, he undid sickness. He undid disease. Hallelujah. So that we should not be sick anymore. We should not be poor anymore. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Ezekiel. I love to read this book, Ezekiel chapter 36. Hallelujah. Let's start it from verse 24. Now, this is a shadow. This was the prophecy of the new creation. Now, it had its instant application to the children of Israel in that day. But God was actually speaking through the prophet what the prophet did not really, was trying to look into but could not see. But he just said it. Praise the Lord. He said, "For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land." It says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean." This is the word of God. You know, water is indicative of the word of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. So he says, "He will sprinkle the word upon you, and you will be clean." Bible says, by sanctification of the washing of water by the word. Hallelujah. And so he says, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. And from all your filthiness and from your idols will I cleanse you." It says, "And a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." It says, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." So these things are done by the grace of God given to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. He says, "And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." Hallelujah. He says, "And I will also save you from all your uncleanliness, and I will call for corn." Hallelujah. Now, he's talking about prosperity now. He says, "When I've done all these things," and he's already done them in Christ Jesus. We're going to go into the New Testament a little bit and very soon and see what he did. He said, "I will call for corn, and I will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field. And you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen." This is God's promise. This is part and parcel of the covenant. This is the new, he's telling us the covenant. Now, let us say something. You say, that's the Old Testament, a new heart and a new spirit. All right, let's go to the New Testament, because I like to say to people, when the Apostle Paul got his revelation, apart from the things that God downloaded to him directly, he actually was reading the Torah, the Old Testament. All those things he was talking about, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, all things are passed away, all things are become new, and all things are of God. This is it. And the Holy Ghost opened or unveiled the scripture to him, and he could see it. And some of it were visions. He could see, this is what the word says, and the Lord opens his eyes, and in the realm of the spirit, he can see it. But God never says anything to us, whether it's in visions and dreams, that are contrary to his word. We're supposed to live the supernatural life. We're supposed to live the divine life, the life of God on this earth, by his word. Hallelujah. That's how we're supposed to live this life. We're not supposed to live like mere men. Anything that comes through the door hits us. No. Hallelujah. Poverty has been banished from the life of the believer. I'm going to show you from the scriptures. We've just started. Amen? All right. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. It says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though that he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty might be rich." Is rich not rich? Now, some people said that, no, it means spiritual riches. Okay, was Jesus spiritually poor? The man who was raising the dead at will? Lazarus' comfort, is that spiritual poverty? No. How many times have you broken some loaves and 5,000 people were fed? That's a spiritual poverty. So Jesus was never spiritually poor. The Bible said that though that he was rich. What is he talking about? He's talking about the heaven's glories. Can you imagine the streets of gold? "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though that he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty, Jesus lived a poor man's life, that I may live a rich man's life." That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.